may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free.
And minister in song. Samuel, it's a good song for the new year, and trust that that's your desire as we begin this new year. invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Once again, we have been in a series in Galatians, and we're coming to the fifth chapter. And this is really another turning point in the book of Galatians that we come to. We see that Paul has dealt with argument about the gospel, and he has appealed to the Galatians not to waver from salvation by faith alone. And now as we get to chapters 5 and 6, he is going to address the matter of Christian living and liberty. And so he's moving towards that. And we come to chapter 5 and verse 1 is really a key verse of the entire book, the entire letter. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Before he walked out of jail back in 2016, a man by the name of Albert Woodfox spent almost 43 years in isolation. He was the longest standing solitary confinement prisoner in America. But then he finally was released in 2016, and he was asked whether sometimes he missed his life in lockdown. And he said, yes, in fact, he did. He certainly missed being in solitary confinement. He said, you know, human beings are territorial. They feel more comfortable in areas where they are secure. In a cell, you have a routine. You pretty much know what is going to happen, when it's going to happen. But in society, it's difficult. It's looser. So there are moments when, yeah, I wish I was back in the security of a cell. And it's the same in a way when we are released from the bondage that Paul is talking about here, the bondage of sin and of the law. There may be times when we feel like we were back in our cell. We can feel like we're not comfortable. We're not in a place where we feel like we know what's going to happen. And so as we come here to chapter 5, Paul is encouraging the readers to stand fast in their liberty. In other words, don't feel drawn back into that cell of bondage. It may feel secure. It may feel like you're more comfortable with that. But Paul is saying, no, stand fast. Persevere in that liberty that we have, that Christ has given to us. We saw last week at the end of chapter 4, Paul's illustration of Abraham's two sons. One was a slave because his mother was a slave. That was Ishmael. And Paul told us that in Ishmael we have a picture of the bondage of the law and of seeking to be saved through the law and legalism. And then Isaac represents the freedom in Christ. Christ has set us free from the law. Over in chapter 3, verse 13, we see that where it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And so Christ has given us this freedom, and we need to persevere in that. And so as Paul is moving towards the practical aspects of Christian liberty and the Christian life, we see him again laying a foundation for that in the first verses of chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 this morning. He's speaking to believers directly. And then in verses 7 through 12, he speaks about false teachers and the continued pressure that they have. But notice in verses 1 through 6, two basic points for believers to help them persevere in liberty, to stand fast in that liberty. And the first thing we need to see is to beware of the problems of giving up liberty. Notice verse 1 again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What are some of the problems of giving up liberty? Well, the first one is the yoke of bondage. Maybe you've seen some Amish farmers around here using a yoke on their animals in the field. You can see that sometimes if they're plowing or doing something there in the field, they may have some kind of bar that links together two animals, or they might do it with a wagon or something. That's a picture of the law and the danger for believers. It is a yoke of bondage. Peter saw that burden of that yoke in the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15:10. He says, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" So he is pointing out to them that to add some of the law to Gentile believers for salvation is like putting a yoke on them that they just cannot bear with. They can't hold up under that. And then on the other hand, we need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has a yoke. And He wants us to be joined up with Him, but it's a lot different. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So it's two different yokes. And the problem of adding legalism, of adding works for salvation, it brings us into a yoke of bondage that we cannot really bear up under. And then notice the second problem of giving up liberty in verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." See, the problem of the loss of Christ's benefit. See, the specific issue here that was being dealt with by the Galatians was the issue of circumcision and requiring circumcision for salvation. That was the one aspect of the law that they were emphasizing. And Paul says very seriously here with all his authority, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you." He's reminding them of, remember who I am. I'm an apostle. As an apostle, I'm saying this unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you're adding that work, or if you add any other work, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, you don't get any gain. You don't get the benefit or the help from Christ. That's very serious. If you are adding a work, whether it be circumcision or any other aspect of the law or any other law, if you're looking to that to be a part of salvation, it won't work. Christ shall profit you nothing. You don't get the benefit of Christ if you do that. We need to make sure that our full dependence is on Jesus Christ. If you rely on anything else in addition to Christ, you don't have saving. You don't have salvation through Christ. There may be some that are still kind of depending on their family. Their family is religious, maybe even Christian, and maybe they have just a little bit of hope on that. Maybe that counts for something before God. Maybe others who are looking to their baptism. Because they were baptized, they must be okay with God. Or maybe they look at their lives and they look at what they've done compared to what somebody else has done. And, hey, I'm not that bad. I certainly haven't done what they have done. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't murdered anybody. But wait a minute. That's still depending on something other than Christ or something in addition to Christ. So we need to look within our own hearts and lives and see, are we depending completely on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we have part of our dependence on something else plus Christ? That's very dangerous. Because Paul says here, the problem with that is, if you do that, Christ shall profit you nothing. You can't rely on anything else in addition to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third problem here of giving up liberty is being in debt to the law. Look at verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. The problem of the debt to the law. Paul is warning here again that if you take one part of the law, like circumcision for the Galatians or something else for people today, you become a debtor to do the whole law. You're obligated. It's like you're in debt to keep the entire law. The law comes as a unit, and you can't pick and choose the things that you want to do. If you're going to do part of it, you've got to do all of it. And you're obligated to do that. Paul said the same thing back in chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then over in Romans 2, verse 25, Paul says, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. And so that warning is for everyone today, individually, wherever they are, first century or the present time. Paul says, I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And so maybe there's somebody today, they're taking on some part of the law, maybe the moral law, maybe the ceremonial law, maybe even one of the Ten Commandments. Take the Eighth Commandment, for instance, thou shalt not steal. And somebody might say, well, I haven't stolen anything. That's good. I mean, doesn't that count for anything? Maybe if I just focus on not stealing, God will accept me. But we need to realize that that's only a part of it. There's 9 other commandments. You're obligated to do all of those, including honoring parents, not bearing false witness, not coveting, not committing adultery, and even more than that. Paul is reminding us that we can't just take one aspect of the law and think that that's good enough, think that there's any saving benefit from that, because we have to do the entire thing. It's all connected together. We're in debt to do the law if we don't stand fast in the liberty. If we give up our liberty in Christ that God has given to us, we're in debt. We're obligated to do the entire law. And then another problem Paul points out in verse 4 is the loss of grace. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, Paul's not saying that salvation can be lost once you have it. That would contradict other scriptures. But if you choose legalism, what's happening is you're letting go of grace.
That's right.
Salvation is by grace. It's a gift. We just open our hands. We take the gift of salvation. We trust in Christ and His finished work. And if we give up that, if we turn away from that way of salvation, we are turning away from grace. We're letting go of grace. And the Galatians had not actually done this, but as we read the entire epistle, we see that they were wavering. They were listening to people who were encouraging them to give up their liberty. They had pressure that they were facing from within, from without. And Paul is warning them, listen, if you do this, if you don't stand fast in your liberty, you are giving up something that's a gift, something that you ought not to give up, grace. Why would we let go of grace? Why would we do that? How foolish it would be for us to let go of grace. Grace is a treasure to cherish. And yet, oftentimes, we can be tempted to give up what is most precious to us. We need to see how important grace is. You probably heard about the man named Frederick Douglass. He grew up as a slave in this country in Maryland. and he had a very hard life as a slave. He was taken from his mother when he was only a baby. For years as a child, his owner would dump runny cornmeal in something like a big pig trough and call all the slave children to come and eat. They would be given oyster shells to scoop up as much as they could and eat that way. He'd have to work in the hot fields from sunup until sundown. If he did work well enough to please his master, if he did not work well enough, he'd be whipped. But even with all of that, when Frederick Douglass considered trying to escape to freedom, he says that he struggled with that decision. And he writes about that in his book, A Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass. He said that for him, potential freedom had two great fears. The first fear that he had was leaving behind his friends. He wrote, "I had a number of warm-hearted friends in Baltimore, friends that I loved almost as I did my life. And the thought of being separated from them forever was painful beyond expression. It is my opinion that thousands would have escaped from slavery who remained, but for the strong cords of affection that bind them to their friends." And then his second fear was the fear of failure. He said, "If I failed in this attempt," that is the attempt to be free, "if I failed in this attempt, my case would be a hopeless one. It would seal my fate as a slave forever." So he had these fears of escaping to freedom. And in the same way, people today may fear leaving the bondage that they are in and finding freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul warns us here that if we fail, if we stay in bondage, look at these problems here. Look what we get ourselves into if we do not stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made us free. And so we need to not pay attention to the fears that may arise in our hearts about leaving whatever form of bondage there may be. You know, there may be something in our lives or in somebody's life that is very good, very spiritual. And yet, it may be a problem. It may be a threat to liberty. It may even look appealing. It may even look Jewish. Or it may even look very conservative or very traditional. And yet, it can be something that is a replacement for freedom. It's something that is a replacement for the liberty that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. And so we need to make sure that we don't let that happen in our lives. That other people or other things would cause us to give up the saving benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Paul's saying, look at these problems. If you don't stand fast in the liberty, you may not even have salvation. You may give that up. If you're looking to, okay, something else, kind of hoping in that plus Christ, that's not going to work. You don't have any benefit from the Lord Jesus Christ if you do it that way. So look at those threats, those problems. And then in verses 5 and 6, Paul wants us to come and recognize real liberty. Recognize real liberty in verses 5 and 6. We see in verse 5 that real liberty is through the Spirit. Real liberty is through the Spirit, verse 5. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Here's the real liberty. It is in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives that to us. Paul says earlier in chapter 4, verse 29, that we are born after the Spirit, born again after the Spirit. In chapter 4, verse 29, he says, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, Even so it is now. It's just reminding us we're born again through the Holy Spirit. We're not born again through any effort of our own. The Holy Spirit of God comes and does a work in our heart. He gives us new life. We don't earn that. We can't keep the law enough to earn liberty and freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us. And then this verse 5 tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us wait. Look at verse 5 again. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That word wait means to await eagerly or expectantly for some future event. And here it is the hope of righteousness. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Looking forward to the actual experience of righteousness. Of course, the Bible teaches that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous by God. But we're looking forward to an event in the future where our salvation is declared publicly. We experience the fulfilled promise of salvation. And the Holy Spirit of God enables us to wait, to look forward eagerly and expectantly to that future time when our righteousness is publicly declared that we now have. We don't have that through the law or anything else. God gives us that, and He gives us the ability to wait for the full demonstration of our salvation. What does it mean for us to wait like that? You know, sometimes we can be focused on the past and we can have a lot of regret about things in the past, perhaps. Or maybe we wish that we could go back to some time in the past and just relive the good old days. Maybe at some point in our family or some other situation that we were in, why could we just go back? But as believers here, we're reminded that we need to be looking to the future. And Paul says that God's Holy Spirit gives that attitude of eager expectation for the future. We can be thankful for the past, the things that have happened. We can learn from the past. But as believers, we are to be looking to the future. We are to be expecting that God will come and take us to Himself, that we'll be with God forever in heaven one day. Maybe even the present time is there are some things that we wish could be different. Maybe we're not satisfied with the things that we have and right now, and we wish for a change in some way. Well, God gives us as believers a future. We may not experience the fulfillment of our hopes and dreams here in this life, but we need to look beyond that by the Holy Spirit to wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The best is yet to come. And we need to be eagerly waiting for the coming of Christ and our being in heaven with Him forever. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And that's real liberty. That's real freedom. The Holy Spirit can set us free from the regret of the past or from the dissatisfaction we have with the present time. And He gives us a hope, an expectation for what's coming in the future. Real liberty is through the Spirit. And then verse 6 tells us that real liberty is in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Real liberty is in Jesus Christ. Circumcision or uncircumcision, those do not avail anything. Those don't have the ability to help us. Those rituals don't have strength to help for salvation or even for living our Christian life. That's what Paul is leading towards here in Galatians 5 and 6. These rituals are not going to help us to be able to live according to how God wants us to. But in Jesus Christ, we have faith that works by love. there is an outworking to the faith that we have, which is love. And when we come to verse 14, we're going to see that in even more detail. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So real liberty is in Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody and you would think, you see in your life that nothing is availing for you. As Paul says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. And people need to come to the point in their lives where they see nothing works. Nothing is availing. Nothing can save me. Nothing I do, no religion can give me what I need to be right with God. Nothing will help to live as I should live. But then we come to the place where we see it's in Jesus Christ. Nothing like these rituals works, nothing avails, but instead in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ is what we need to see. He avails for us. And we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Even as believers, we may feel that we are weak and helpless to do what God has called us to do. Even this year, maybe you're thinking as you sit here, first Sunday of the year, we've just started this year, and you think, I don't have what it takes. How am I going to go through another year and do what God wants me to do? Even as believers, we feel like that. And we need to take that feeling to Jesus Christ. We are weak and helpless. But in Jesus Christ, we have the ability that we need to do what He has called us to do. And so Paul encourages us here to stand fast in the liberty. Persevere. We may feel pressure to kind of go back into that cell of bondage, so to speak. Maybe it's more comfortable for us. We need to stand fast in the liberty. Persevere in the freedom that we have in Christ. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the law. He kept the law for us. We don't need to work to keep it for ourselves. We have His righteousness.
Amen.
And look at the problems of giving up liberty. Recognize real liberty that we have through the Spirit and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to stand fast in this liberty. Help us not to give up the freedom that we have for whatever reason we may feel in our hearts. Lord, we thank You that we have full salvation through Jesus Christ. And may we all know what it means to depend completely on Him for our salvation. Help us not to be secretly holding out on any other thing, whether it be the law or anything else that we would look to for salvation. Help us to see salvation in Jesus and Him alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.